Welcome back to No Source Needed with Cian and Alex. Hi, Cian.
Hi, Alex. It is 2 minutes past 4 o'clock. I really like saying the time on the radio.
That's how you know we're on the radio. We say the time. Okay, we are joined by very special guests today.
Who are they? Who are you? Who
are we? We are the Sideline UCC 98 Vintry FM. Woo!
Here we go!
The collab everyone has been waiting for, I think.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and...
Bond author in Ireland.
Yeah, actually, we were wondering how outrageous can we do this now?
Basically, today's episode, as you are the Sideline, your show is all things sport. We want to get your takes on basically very important sport-related questions that we feel like could better the athletic performances of many, many players all around the world in different endeavors. It's not GA specific. It's not soccer specific. It's not
sport, like
just sport. If you're an athlete, you are the two
and
boys to talk to about
prime
it.
Prime athletes. Yeah. Look at us. Listen to us.
So we have some questions on nutrition. We have some questions on sports. Psychology. We have pre-season training. That's always an important one. And we're just gonna kind of take from there. We feel like we're gonna get a good few tangents out of these now. So should I start off right, nice and strong, or should we go into a tune?
We'll go into a tune. Today I didn't want to pick the song, so I got some suggestions. So this is Missy by Rolling Stones.
Enjoy, lads. Enjoy.
And we're back.
We're back. That so, yeah. is Miss You by Rolling Stones.
And June. Do you miss me when I'm not around, Alex?
Yeah.
That's fair weird. That's fair weird, man. I don't know why you'd be doing that.
Yeah, I'm always thinking about you when you're not around, Gene.
That's strange.
That's cute.
No, it isn't.
He doesn't love me as much as I love him, but that's okay.
Okay, quick question before we get started on anything else. Would you use the steam room in the Marduk together?
If you ever asked me to, like.
Yeah.
You know, if you asked me to, like. Yeah, we clothes on, clothes off.
You're like
togs on, like.
Togs on, towel.
Then no.
No.
No, togs off, yeah, and togs on, yeah. No.
What are you at later?
I don't know, what are you at later? Tugs off.
Steam room.
Tugs off. Yeah, here we go.
Fair enough.
Here we go.
Basically, himself and Jude love to do it, and I'm not a fan.
Really?
I won't do it.
I just chill out in the steam room.
Yeah, just go. I don't want to do it. And go to the steam room. Like, it's lovely.
I don't want to do it.
It's friendship building stuff. Like,
I think our friendship's fine personally as it is. Like, I don't see why we need to develop it any further.
Don't see why you need to sweat on each other. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, have you ever watched the first Top Gun movie?
Yeah.
Do you know? You know the scene I'm on about where they're staring each other down, their steam coming. That's what I picture it's like between the two of you. Like,
it's a lot more friendly.
And plus, it's also I picture I don't know, business lads being in there, being like, it's a bad day to be a spreadsheet. Am I right, lads?
Oh, do you know your man on Instagram?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, we're going at it again, boys. We might have failed that exam, but we're going at it again next week. And all the comments like, bad day to be an exam.
That fellow with the glasses.
No, he has like the most rectangular head you'd
yes,
ever see.
You know, yeah, he ran like a marathon.
Yeah, he ran the Boston Marathon.
Bad
yeah.
day to be a marathon.
But yes. No, you know what I saw, yeah? Yeah. The best comment I ever saw. Second worst day to be the Boston Marathon.
But literally, do you know, like he literally screed at his pants, like.
Yeah, he whacked himself, like. Second worst day to be the boss of Martha, I tell you that much.
Jesus. That's horrendous, like.
All right, moving on.
So these questions, we're hoping that they will provide some insight for athletes everywhere, coming from the two experts themselves, Dylan and Barry of the sideline.
Actually, a PhD in rubbish talking, but anyway, nothing related to sports.
So, first question, and it's nutrition based. How many Weetabix should the average county footballer eat each day?
Depends, like, what size he is. If he's, you
depends
know,
on the size of the Weetabix.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like depends, mini like, chocolate chip ones.
Yeah. Okay, we're talking good old fashioned, no chocolate chip, just like straight, like. Well, even wheat biscuits, you know, like the Aldi ones. Yeah, the Aldi own brand, like, you know what I mean? Yeah,
them yolks would have you on the title for a week, so I'd stay away from them.
depends what type of milk you use as well. Like, we're not using semi-skimmed, like, full fat milk, whole, like, you know what I mean? Fat.
Straight from the cow, like.
Literally,
from the
like.
Cow's tit, like, I'm, like, honest to God, can I say that on radio?
Yeah, straight from the cow's tit. If it's a cow's, you're grand, yeah.
Yeah, and it's warm coming out of the cow as well, like, so it's lovely, warm milk, wheat.
That's good. All right, fair enough.
We still haven't answered the question, so I'm going to say seven.
Seven a day,
yeah.
Seven a day is apt. What do you think, Barry? Dylan, even Jesus.
You should have. Like, realistically speaking, like, seven is like what you should be having, but I once had 42 in one in one sitting. Now I was going for a walk and I needed the energy. And I had 42 Weetabixes.
How are you walking? The Camino?
He's walking from one to car.
He's going to college. Yeah, I know your name.
But the mother came back and there was no more Weetabix. And she was like, what happened? There was like three full boxes. Gone. Yeah.
Okay.
So, next question.
Go on.
What's the best hangover cure for a match?
What do you mean a hangover cure?
So you go out drinking the night before a match.
Yeah.
What's the best way to cure the hangover before you have to start?
Before a match, though.
I'd have to say a big greasy fry. Greasier the better.
Yeah.
That's in the morning. And then you're horse and water into you all day. Try and sweat it out. Or even pee it out. you're taking two, what do you call it again? Panadol in the morning. And you're definitely taking one before the match as well.
Oh, yeah.
And... yeah, just I think a few Hail Marys and Our Fathers on top of that, all for the best.
Had a good slagging off from the coach as well.
So a fry up in the decade of the roast.
Pretty much, like.
All right, how about our orange slices at halftime, the equivalent of taking performance-enhancing drugs?
Yes and no. So there was actually a team in Donegal that was caught using PEDs, and the PEDs were actually lemons. So whenever they used to eat the lemons, they used to actually give them like superpowers. They were wondering why the team was dominating up beside the glen. So would I say that? No, but lemons, yes. But they're like green lemons, so they're actually pears.
Limes?
So yes.
Yes, they are the equivalent of taking PEDs,
yes,
essentially.
Don't.
And Jaffa Cakes.
Yeah, oh, I forgot yeah. about Jaffa Cakes, no, man.
I hate them.
That's crack, like.
Why used to be in the dressing room, horsing Jaffa Cakes into them.
I can't stand them.
Ring up, like, I can't stand them.
I don't like them at all, yeah, but I remember.
Great.
Oh, yeah, completely. It's ridiculous. I like to think that, like, because, like, hurling, it's just, it just became, it, shtick and ball, like, you know what I mean?
That's it,
like. It's a simple man sport, but it's a hard man sport at the same time.
Oh, it's like
one of the fastest field sports in the world, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous, in fairness. So, all right. Now, in terms of nutrition advice, who would you say is the more reliable source? Would you say a trained and educated dietitian / food scientist, or your mother, who says you're looking fairly skinny these days?
Mm. I think the granny can be more abusive than the mother.
Oh, I forgot about the granny.
Yeah,
all right.
If you had a bit of weight in you at all, and you go into the granny's house, and she's like, you're after putting on a bit of weight. And you're looking at her like, well, you know what, so have you, but you're doing nothing. So.
You sit at home watching Sanders, like, get out.
Oh, I'm sure you're burning fierce calories at step dancing or whatever you've been doing.
Her left arm's just all muscle.
Yeah. Bingo-ing.
At her.
Bingo.
Yeah,
she comes home with a new kettle every week.
She's like 16 kettles out in the back shed. Like,
I remember this is a complete off topic now, but I remember where I used to work. There was like a department store upstairs, and I'd work in there sometimes because it's like all the same company. And there's this one old lady who came in, and she was looking for a teapot. And I think the only teapots we had, I can't remember the exact like size of them, but let's say it was like I don't know, maybe like 30 mil, 48 mil, and then like 60 mil. And then she was there being like, oh, do you have anything in between 30 and 48? And I was just there being like, no, we don't. And I was like, oh, because I'd like something that's maybe like, you know, like 42.
Fill it up, three quarters.
And then that's exactly what I thought what was said to me afterwards. She was like, she could just fill it up like as much as she needs.
Yeah.
I remember she asked us, she was like, how many cups would you get out of that? No.
And I was hold on, I boil it here and we find out.
Yeah. I remember it was so funny. My co-worker, John, he just goes on his phone just being like, oh, look it up there.
Yeah.
the screen was blank, like.
On Instagram there, scrolling.
He was just sitting there being like, get about 8 cups out of that.
Just like dead face, like.
Oh, completely. Absolute, like, waffle is what he was feeding her. She was like, no, I can't be buying that now. That one's
suit
me. I drink
more than 8 now in a day. I can't be buying that.
I don't move like I used to. I can't be getting up and down
just
to the counter.
Just the water tank to fill it back up.
What do you actually need to invent? Like,
hot water.
Running water, man. They need to invent something, right? It's an armchair, but there's a teapot right beside it and a hot stove in the armchair. And it sounds like a fire hazard
to be honest.
And it heats up the hot water, and you can make tea without even leaving the couch.
Your poor granny would be scalded though.
She'd have some tan.
The heating wouldn't need to be.
Her hips are ruined, man. From every 5 minutes, she's getting up and making cups of tea, man. Just ruined, like.
Ruined, like. At least she can now do it from the comfort of her little chair.
Yeah,
exactly.
Man.
Yeah.
EastEnders on in front of her.
Yeah. Won't miss a bit, like.
Exactly. You know, was it in EastEnders or Coronation Street? There's a character called Shadrach.
What?
You ever see? Yeah, exactly. That's where I came from.
Is that where that's from?
Yeah, he was like, yeah. So I was watching in Coronation Street, and then there's one geese called Shadrach, and I just heard him saying, "Was like, get back, Shadrach." And I was just like, "Oh, right, I'll say it now, get back, Shadrach." It's all inside your mind. goofy ass. So this kind of goes back to our second question, but how many points are acceptable the night before a championship game?
None.
Less of it. So I'd say you'd anywhere between 2 and 4.
That's a lie. If you're going out for a pint, so you even have 1 pint, there's no point half-assing it. You may go out and get absolutely steamed and
what,
then come
what
in.
What match is the next day? What calibre of a match now? Is it a final?
We're talking, let's go county
junior
final.
B. County final. 3 pints the night before.
Junior B.
Line the stomach, get the confidence in for the next day.
Yeah.
Then you're getting up in the morning, no hangover, no nothing. The stomach is lined for that night.
Yeah. And you're doing well. Yeah. Then you're having your 42 weedaboxes, and then you're...
You're not opening it for the county final.
You have to go 50, like.
You have to go double.
42 is a weird number, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a strange number.
And even number, at least. I mean, like, round it off, I mean.
I don't know, man. personally, like, you know, you might start off, have a, you know, if it's a nice day out, like championship weather is always nice weather, like you're out in the beer garden, you've had two or three, you know, nice wee bottles of Bulmers, and Jesus, you're just looking at your friend, hey, what's he drinking? Curves. Straight in the curves then for about two or three more. And at that point you're stained, like, and you're like, fuck it.
We were doing so well.
Apologies for that.
But yeah, then you're hopping on the whiskies, and then next thing you know, it's quarter to two, and you're playing a game by 20 minutes.
Yeah, do you feel like in the caliber, let's say, if it's junior B, are you allowed to go more on the sauce, basically?
Oh man, you're not going home. Like,
You're never off the sauce. Junior B, junior B match there last weekend, and sure, we went out last Wednesday. Thursday.
We did indeed.
I had a day off Friday to prepare for the Junior B match. Started cornerback, scored a pint. So there you go. That's what the beer does to you.
That's what it does. It's lovely. Fuel, man. It's absolute fuel. Alex, would you like to get into the sports psychology questions?
Yeah, I would love to. If I can get my questions up 2 seconds.
Extremely unprofessional.
I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, so this one is actually, it's like a multiple choice. The question, I'll say the question, Alex. Hopefully he'll have the question up by then.
Okay.
What is the ideal motivation for a game? Alex, you have the options up.
Your teammates chanting, big one from you today, boy. Your father, whose attention you've always craved. Oh. That one girl from 2019. Oh. And the fear from the night before.
Best motivation, like,
yeah. What's gonna give you the best performance? Like, what do you need to be like replaying over and over in your head for your performance to be A1?
Probably dad, man. I want him to care.
I remember I played a hurling match a few months ago, and Ava was at it and had the best hurling match of my life when she was there.
Nice. That's beautiful.
So I'd have to go with, maybe not the girl from 2019, but the girl from 2024. So
yeah. I tell you what, I stopped playing sports around the time that I was able to talk to women, so I really did not get the best out of both worlds. I feel like
it's just pressure, but look, pressure makes diamonds. I love pressure.
Yes, it does, boy. Yes, it does.
Okay, next question. How do you recover from missing a penalty? Keep your head up and learn from past mistakes. Confide in your supporting teammates and coaches. Let it eat at you for years to come and quit playing 2 months later.
It does eat at you, though. Like, I don't know. Have you ever taken a penalty in your life?
Me?
Bro.
Thinking about his dad.
No, like, I'm a goalkeeper, so I'd be saving the penalties. Like, but
I was a keeper as well for a while, so I'd say I played most consistently in soccer and goal, and then I was on football and goal as well. But then I was a mean corner forward in my day.
Nippy corner forward.
Yeah. To be fair, I was just, put me anywhere in midfield, but I don't have the legs for that.
I don't know, like I remember, what even was it? There is sometimes, like, you look back, I remember, like, this was shit, and I remember back at under-14s, like, I missed a goal in the final, and, like, even now, I'm like, Jesus.
Still hurts, man.
I could have won the under-14 Division 3B final. Do you know what I mean? Like, about 10 years later, like...
The North Monaghan Division 3B.
That's everyone's dream.
Yeah, it is, honestly.
Where's your medal?
I have two under-14 County B Carlo medals. I've two under-20 hurling medals as well. Where's your hurling medals? I've football and hurling medals. Where's your hurling medals?
Where's your Ulster medal?
I don't have a Leinster.
Contention between the boys, lads. Jesus. Me and Alex, you and I are looking like besties these days.
Okay, coming back from injury, would you play it safe and keep rehabbing regularly? Play on until your hamstring is falling off the bone, but you continue because you're hard. Yeah. Or use an excuse not to go training and go on the sesh regularly.
We've a lad back at home. I'd say we were minor, and look, he's a bit of a PhD in waffle talk as well. And
where'd he get that?
I don't know. He got it in Carlo somewhere.
I got mine in Hamburger University, man.
he hurt his knee in a match, right?
And he hurt his knee.
Hurt his knee.
That's very open. Oh, it's very open-ended.
He just twisted his knee. Like, it wasn't like a big thing or anything, yeah. Like, you know.
But like, everyone hurts their knee at some stage. Yeah, like, yeah.
But not, okay, not like a very recoverable injury.
Yeah, right? It's not a meniscus tear.
Well, here, this is where it was funny, because he texted into the group chat last night, oh, boys, I'm after doing me meniscus. And we were like, that's like a serious injury. You're out for like 6 to 8 months with a meniscus, back in 2 weeks. When he texted in, oh, I'll be playing tomorrow. And one lad's like, what happened about the meniscus? And it was like, oh, it's healed. The next lad's text back being like, oh, 2 cans of a fag and you're all right. That's all he did. It was minor, and he was like the most unfit out of everyone, because he was the first person to start like drinking and smoking before matches.
I remember it's not my proudest moment. There was this one time this is pre-season, and they were doing runs, like, and me being the goalkeeper thought I shouldn't be doing these runs. I pretend to turn my hamstring.
You tore it.
I pretend.
How do you pretend to tear a hamstring, buddy?
Because it's quite like everyone that tears their hamstring, it's the same motion, like. It's just an instant,
they grab it, be like, yeah, oh, lad, exactly. Something's off there. Yeah.
Was back training the next day.
I remember at a rugby match once, we were losing like by 80 points, I think. I was like, oh, I'm not playing, I'm coming off, you know, we're done. So I said to my coach, like, oh, I hurt my head there. And then he goes, yeah, my head's hurting too, get off.
All right, so this one is, we hate when it does happen, but it always does. Mid-match altercations, when you can feel a fight brewing between two lads. What do? Do you tell the referee to have a word with the opposition? Do you use it as motivation to win the game? Or do you break his kneecaps and leave him sterile?
Sterile. How did you jump from breaking his kneecaps to leaving him sterile?
Just you know what I mean, like you give him a dig in the face and you know his ribs are broken, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, what do you like, I don't know, if a fight breaks out, it definitely gives you like motivation to go on and be like, I'm going to hammer these lads now.
Yeah.
Any chance you get, you're plowing into a lad, like,
completely,
you know, doesn't matter if he was in the fight or not. You know, you hate this team.
It doesn't matter if you were in the wrong.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. If anyone starts to fight one of your players, you're like, I'm going to do my best to hurt one of you. You know?
I do remember in a rugby game as well. I remember this. I can't even remember like how this happened, but shows because of what had occurred. One fella just turns around. I don't know. There's a bit of handbags or just turns around, clocks me in the face. Yeah, just absolutely swings it. I'm just like, oh, Jesus.
And you like, were you in the like melee at all?
I don't remember being a part of it whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I hate lads like that. No.
I've never been involved in one. You see, like, I could be going down my side as well. I just stand in the goals and watch them. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm just like, I'm not gonna. I've seen many of the boys get broken noses.
Yeah.
Just see, all it takes, man, is just one thump.
The thing, especially when you're on goal, like, you have a view of everything, so you're there being
just watching it, you're leaning on the post, like, watching it all unfold, like,
talking to the umpire,
talking to the fiend behind the net,
and
being
umpire's the kid's father who started the fight.
Can I ask as well, because this happened to me before, I think it was in a champo match, and I remember being like, they didn't know if it had gone over the bar, and there was this whole thing, be like, it was my word against theirs, and umpire was gonna go with me, and maybe I shouldn't have done this because we lost, but I did say it went over. What would you have done in that position?
Fun fact, full of fun facts, man. There was this one game, and it was the first round of the championship. We were playing Carmarthen, and it's me uncle behind the goals.
Excellent start, absolutely brilliant.
Carmarthen wouldn't have like the best facilities. Like, their goals would have like holes underneath the net and stuff.
Oh, completely.
So I remember one time, this, like, it was the very end of the game, like pretty much last kick of the ball. This ball's going over my head, and I thought it was going over the bar. And like, I nearly jump around to see where it's going. It goes over my head into the goals, but it bounces through one of the net, the holes in the net, and goes out behind. My uncle waves it as a point.
Because
like, it was one of those, like,
the VAR would be needed. Like, you need a TMO there.
It went over my head, bounced underneath the goals and straight through the net, and the uncle waved as a point. Because like, I actually didn't even notice until he told me. He was like, you know, that was a goal. Like, it was no way. It just went over my head and into the goals. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's the thing, when you're like in your mid-teens, you're playing in the full-size goals. Like, you are sometimes just left for dead. Like,
should it be kids like 15 under 15 in the big goals?
Yeah, like, and like,
when you move up under,
sure, like, yeah, like, well, like how tall are you when you're 15? You're 5'6" at a push, like, and like, you jump, you can touch, you jump and you can touch the bar, like, but then, like, how long, like, what's the goal? Like, I think it's what, like, 12 feet wide, something like that.
12 feet by 7 foot, I think, or 8 foot, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's a lot of real estate for my little self to be covering there.
Right, it's time for another song, I think.
All right, bye.
Another suggestion. This is Space Oddity by David Bowie. Ooh. Enjoy. And we're back.
So yeah, continuing on. Lads, first off, how are you enjoying No Source Needed?
Ah, this is some crack.
Yeah. Yeah. What were you on about today, actually? Because you were on earlier about what's going on in sports?
Well, when Dylan decided to show up at 12:30,
he was fuming. He was so pissed at me for being 5 minutes late 2 weeks ago.
I know, he had a good excuse. He's hungover, but no, Ava was in, and Ava was like, "John is like, it's 10 past now. We start the show," and I was like, "Right, go on." So me and Ava were just chatting about nothing until he came in.
Oh.
And then we were just talking about, well, just like Irish, not sport, like, that's what I mean, like, we were just talking, like, not sport. But then he came in anyway, and we were talking about the championship there over the weekend, and Donegal beating Derry, big shock. Cavan and Tyrone went to extra time, another bit of a shock. Kerry beating Cork, that wasn't a shock. But in fairness, Cork put up to them for a while, so.
Did I see Dan Casey, your boy? He put up, he posted a TikTok or something. He was raging at Cork. It was something, it was in Waterford.
Yeah, he's a crybaby, man. Oh. Never again, like.
Well, he's a lovely chap.
He's brilliant, like, but he's barked up the wrong tree, like.
Look, did he come in for you, or did you do it on Zoom?
No, I was over the phone, yeah.
Oh, okay, fair.
But Cork is starting to kind of get a bit of a reputation for being Cork GAA fans, especially for kind of being a bit crybabies now.
I mean, to be fair, we should hold on to the glory.
It's kind of more of a recent thing, though.
So to be fair, I feel like Cork has always had an unlucky streak for a while. I remember it was the All Ireland, like, 2013 final, the one against Kerry where it went over.
It went
over by about 5 minutes or something like that, and then they scored a point, and that was there to do all that.
10-year-old me was fuming.
Yeah, and like, you know, and I can imagine. Look, I haven't watched much GAA now over the last God knows how many years, but I can imagine it's continued. I always found it really funny because, like, there's always especially in Cork when it came to, like, you know, playing in club, like. Because I feel like Cork was always such an unlucky county to begin with, that when you're playing club, like it's a surprise that there's any winner at all to the games. Like, you'd think that everything just ends in draws and replays. Sure. Where I went to school, Blarney, there, they had a whole thing with, I think, was it Bandon? I think that they have an extra man on the pitch.
Blarney and Bandon, are they close together?
No, Bandon's be.
So it wasn't like a rivalry or anything?
Oh, no, not at all. For the match that was in it, apparently, I think Bandon had an extra player on the pitch there for a small while. And then they copped that, they had won, then they had to do a replay, I think. I think Blarney had won still, but they needed to do a replay because of the rules broken and stuff like that. And then Blarney were fuming because, on one hand, you know, they were at a loss for what they're, like, at a disadvantage, but they still won. But then it had to be replayed, and then they lost the win again. Like, it's just, you can't write that stuff. You know what I mean?
So we were over the Fresher B team this year, me and Dylan and two other lads. And I think there was a couple of matches now where a 16th man might have crept onto the field.
Because, to be fair, you would lose count.
Oh, yeah, no, like it's hard to...
And hurling as well, like we said, it moves so fast, you don't know who's who. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You put one fella on with no number on his back and, like, you wouldn't even...
There was a night we were playing a challenge match against Douglas.
Yeah.
I think we could have had about 18 men on the pitch.
But we were getting hammered, so it didn't
matter. Oh, yeah. And we were playing against men. Like, this is Douglas' senior team. Like,
I'd say there's a scary difference between, like, a 20-year-old and a 30-year-old in terms of, like, just
there
being
was one lad
just
who
being
was
able
still
to
in sixth year, and you should have seen
the
size
man on
of
the pitch.
I swear.
He was massive.
But, like, that's the thing. I don't know. There's just some lads who've just got, like bones made out of titanium, like, when you get a hop off him, you are dying. Like, do you ever get a dead arm from just going for a 50-50?
You hurt your collarbone, is either, like,
sure, yeah.
Some, like, lads thought they mightn't even be built, but they're just brick walls.
Yeah, sure. Like, we kind of talk about this anytime we're on about rugby to each other, but, like, like, there'd always be one fella, like, the 13, who's just 6'2" for no reason.
Ripped as well.
Yeah,
passport like.
Yeah, exactly. I remember nothing better. You never knew you were screwed more in a game when you hear the coach be like, "I'd like to see his birth cert."
And the worst part is, like, I played rugby myself. Like, you'd be going to, like, these games, and, like, everyone has to be the same size as you, but there's always one fella, he's 6'2" with a beard. At 13, and you're like, how is he getting away with that?
Yeah, and, like, and that's the thing, because they're, like, they're not using their big lads up front. They're using their big lad at the back, like, and it's, oh my God, it's just, like,
every team has, like, one of them each. Like we had one as well. Like,
I don't know any team I was ever on have the.
I played a team once, and like every player was like weirdly small. Yeah. Then there's this like one fella who was just insanely massive. Like it was just like pick one. Like, you know,
decide what type of team you want to be. You know, big or small. Can't be mixing and matching.
Yeah, if you have small lads in your team, get rid of them for one. Yeah. They don't deserve it. Use the big lads. Just, you know, that's all you have to do. Go down to the local gym. Be like, I want you.
Yeah, just start recruiting. Like.
Yeah. Do you play rugby at all?
Never played rugby.
Maybe. All right.
Yeah. He wouldn't watch rugby if it was out in the back garden. That is a quote.
All right.
I didn't say that. I just said I'd pull the blinds.
Where did you play yourself, Dylan?
Kind of depended. My younger years, I kind of played front row. And now I have a crippling back problem
from carrying the game.
Oh man, like there'd be times in the scrum, like now it's very hard to describe on air, but I would buckle and this is
I know what you're on about. Yeah,
I wouldn't be straight. Here's me up in the air like this. My feet wouldn't even be touching the ground. Oh. I used to play a hooker, got out of that there. I got a wee bit more skinny and a wee bit more lean in a way, and not anymore though. But I played 8 for a while. And then second row, and then I finished up playing flanker. Love flanker.
Flanker's best.
I was too lazy to be driving it from second row, and I was like, oh, I'll just play a flanker. And like, I either wore like number 5 or number 7. 7, which is such a sick number. Like, he wants to wear 6. Like,
Whiteside, obviously, like, you know what I mean? You don't like Peter Manny's great, but I am not ripping the ball from that rook. Not a chance. I am falling over.
I think he'd eat you before you'd even get near him. Like,
I went in a sort of similar enough, but then also opposite direction to you, where like basically I started off on the wing because I was quite thin at the time, and then I started going to the gym, and then I wasn't so thin anymore. And then I moved in the flank because I didn't have the legs for the wing anymore, but my coach would not accept that because we already had boys in the flank, and I was like, Mr. Dad, please, boy, just let me. I can't do this anymore. My feet don't move like they used to. So I finished off 7 as well, and it's just the most crack, like
it is.
It's so much crack. You get to you don't have to do as much donkey work, which I was because I ended up doing that on the wing, and it's just kind of like, what am I doing here if I'm supposed to be all flashy out there? Like,
I used to be a bit of a dose at the same time. Like, if I came up against a fella, like I'd always be kind of annoying him. Like, he'd be kind of grabbing onto his man for support. Like, and I'd be like 7, so this here side, I'd be kind of holding myself up here, taking my hand off there, and I'd be ripping his hand off the jersey, like, and if he had a scrum cap on, I'd grab the scrum cap and start pulling the scrum cap over his eyes, man. You just see him trying to pull it back up, like.
Yeah, no, sure, I remember some lads in the scrum every now and again would just uppercut the fiend in front of them. They'd be getting saucy the whole game, and then one of the boys, like, I don't know, the tree or something, he'd just be there. It's like, all right, lad. Here, second last show, man, let me off.
Sure, earlier I dropped a bit of an F-bomb, but it wasn't even my fault. So the presentation speech, me thanking the Academy of Lawless here, there was a video of it, and our executive producer, Ava, never PG checked it. By 2 words in, and a big F-bomb.
Big DH word as well. Genital head.
Fabulous.
All right,
we're finishing off these last of the questions here now. Pre-season training, everyone's favorite thing ever.
I
remember playing soccer, and the same thing as yourself, Dylan, being like, oh, I'm playing goal, why do I need to run? And they're like, you should be the fittest player on the pitch. I'm like, no, I shouldn't. There's midfielders, and you know, like, yeah, like how does that make sense? How am I supposed to be I'm in one spot the whole game.
Yeah.
All I have to do is jump a few times. Like,
well, if you had to go out the field, they have a sweeper keeper.
Not a chance, man. Yeah. That's the centre half's problem, not mine, man. So, anyways, what should be a player's biggest priority ahead of a season? So, is it A, losing the Ponzo weight? B, running more laps than that, I'll say it, prick of a midfielder on your team? Making coach dad proud, or sack it off because you're not back from Panza yet.
I think it's just pre-season. We're talking like November, December,
early January. Yeah,
it's cold, it's wet, the pub is dry and warm, and like, just,
but you got a cheap flight to Panza out of it for the
for the winter?
Go to Ponza. Pre-season will sort itself out. They're doing pre-season now with November and your league's not starting until about March. If you're in Santa Ponza there for December, you'll be fine come March.
You'll
be still as fit as you were.
Exactly, And you'll have a great experience out in Santa Ponza.
Exactly. Yeah, you might be a few body parts less, but...
A few diseases more, but
you can't get it twice.
What's a few lbs like? Do you know what I mean? A few pounds, man. A few pounds put on for a good time.
Exactly. You know, it's timber, but built for comfort, not for speed.
I'm a nice hugger.
Exactly. That's what matters. You gotta, you gotta be, you know, hugging all your supporters after the game.
Cuddle some of my teammates,
What?
I want to cuddle some of my.
That's
teammates.
Vital for team bonding, I think.
Exactly, you know. Do you ever do a team bonding?
Yeah, we used to do team bonding out in the lake, and we used to go skinny dipping.
Really? We used to go skinny sauna.
And sometimes we blindfold each other, and you'd have to guess who it is.
That's lethal, man.
On that note, this is Dancing in the Moonlight. So for the last little segment here, the two boys are going to ask us questions.
The sideline will be interviewing, no source needed.
This is brilliant.
We're not prepared. I don't think you are. Either.
No,
we're going dead blind into this. I'm excited.
Okay, first question for the pair of you. Do you think you were both born at a disadvantage by having a Cork accent?
I don't think I have a Cork accent, do I?
A tiny bit.
I feel like I definitely do.
You definitely do.
Yeah. To be fair, my dad's from Mayfield, so I can't really help it. Do I think I was born at a disadvantage? Perhaps, maybe, yes. on the off chance that you know, I ever need to
live anywhere else.
Yeah.
No, that's definitely a thing. Like,
I remember one time in a job, this Australian guy came up to me, and I was there being like, how much the price of what he was buying was, and he just goes, oh, sorry, I can't understand the accent. And I was just kind of like, you can't understand my accent.
All right, mate.
Yeah, I was just like, turn on the voice memos, lad. Like, yeah. Imagine how I feel. Yeah, I feel like Cork accent
is... Yeah, if I ever want to live in like a more neutral speaking place, I think it's a disadvantage.
You have a fairly neutral accent, though.
Yeah, I try.
I think it's charming enough.
You're screwed.
Sure, look.
That's right.
That's right.
I love Cork, boy.
I love it.
I love it.
Like, I was born here, and then I came here, and I love it.
I love it.
Did you ever go down to Shinné? There used to be a barber shop.
Did it?
Yeah. They have barber seats upstairs.
Is that what that is?
Jesus Christ Almighty. Sick of you today, Redmond, boy. All right.
Too much time together.
All right. Next question, lads. Hit us with it.
Like, how long does your visa extend to live in Cork? like, which one? Did you get the travel visa or did you get a student visa?
I got the travel visa and I'm just kind of dodging the authorities now. Like,
oh, really? Is it up?
Yeah, it's up, but for legal reasons, it's not up. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm allowed to stay here as long as it's the same Echo Man.
Oh, yes, the Echo. I heard a rumor a few months ago that he died. And honestly,
I heard that one too.
Yeah. And then the next week he's there.
Like. Ah, sugar man, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, faked his own death. He's sick of it. You imagine that was your job.
Then all the papers are just piling up. He's like,
can't sell any of
them. Any of you spicy see the fella, and he stands outside like that Amsterdam shop, or not Amsterdam Vibes. It's like it's Copenhagen. That little like.
What street's it on? Do you know?
It's on like Patrick Street.
On Patrick Street.
It's like, it's called like Copenhagen, I think. And it sells like all those like kind of like real cheap like notepads and like these toys and stuff.
Okay.
Long story short, there's this fella and he wears like this board back in front and it like slings over him. And he's a human advertising board in Cork City.
Poor fella.
This is awful now.
That's tough.
I'm going to go and bring him into the show next week.
Special guest, the human board. Cork's human board. Coming to you next week on the sideline.
Okay. If you could be from any other county.
I wouldn't.
There we go. Bad. People from Cork love Cork. And they love talking about Cork.
Well, okay. No. Look, you love Cork, but you hate Cork.
I feel like if he left, like if he went up to Dublin or somewhere.
No.
You would be like Cork is like the best thing since sliced bread.
Oh yeah.
Never seen that in like
I wouldn't mind living like I could live with Galway, to be honest.
Yeah, Galway's
a lovely city.
The only other one I'd live in.
Yeah, Galway, Waterford, anywhere by the coast.
I don't think it's a nice city at all.
Well, no, actually, yeah, you know what, to be fair, I've one of the TikToks I've seen is just pure boys in Waterford.
That's literally so cringe. Like, we're going around with these ballies, actually grew up with.
What's your name, Ketu Trappy? Yeah.
Get out of it, man.
I don't know. What if I just moved to like Leitrim or something?
Leitrim,
I don't think I genuinely think that they should just get rid of it.
What does it add?
Fermanagh comes to mind, man.
Like, Fermanagh, yeah.
If Fermanagh just disappeared,
if it just,
I don't think anyone would notice.
Like if Ireland just had a huge Fermanagh shaped lake, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'd be fair. You wouldn't mind it, would you?
Okay, if you could get rid of any county, what county would you get?
Leitrim, for sure.
Leitrim.
Leitrim
or Offaly.
I like Offaly. Offaly's nice. I get rid of Leash.
Leash?
No, I do. I like my mass from Leash, so most of my relations are living there. But I'd still get rid of Leash. I think it's the greatest hole in this world, but yeah.
I get rid of Glanmire.
Wow. Metropolis. It's a bussing metropolis.
A bussing metropolis.
What's the word?
Bustling metropolis.
I'm busting in the metropolis, man.
What is your favourite thing about Cork?
Coast. Like West Cork and all the coast around there. That's really nice.
Because
the city, it's not great.
I feel like West Cork, we should have a Meath, Westmead sort of thing. West Cork is not Cork at all. I genuinely think we could. Because, okay, there's a fierce difference, I'd say. Everything after Ballincollig is just a different world. Like, you know, I swear to God, like, look at Maeve, she's from out that way. Like,
So is Ballincollig before or after Macroom?
Before
Macroom. Anything after Ballincollig. So, like, Macroom, Ballyvourne, Acoulay.
Halfway, what's the other gaff? There's really a gaff in Cork called Halfway. The gaff is called Halfway.
What?
I swear to God, look up Halfway on Google Maps.
It's just a roundabout, like.
No, dude, it's people live there, and those houses went for like 1.2 million during the boom or something. I used to clean windows, boy. I know about this stuff.
You lick windows.
And I lick them clean, hey.
There's a speck of dirt left on them windows.
Yeah, I kind of get where you're coming from. Like, I think once you go over the Macroom bypass, it's like a totally different world. Like,
completely. Yeah. To be fair, I would still put East Cork in there with like North regularly, because East Cork and North Cork have what's maybe a similar level of violence that occurs,
okay.
to say the least. If you do a quarter circle, let's say you go from like Middleton all the way to like Kanturk, and then maybe like to be fair, not much happening in Budavinter Charleville, but like there will be a hatchet or two along that way. I don't know if you've ever heard of the place Cove.
Oh God, now we can't talk about that.
Poor Jude.
Jude's fine.
Yeah, no, he's fine.
What happened to Jude, guys?
was he blindfolded in Cove?
He was in Cove with me, man.
What? Huh?
Can't talk about this.
Oh yeah, I never even said what my favorite part of Cork is. I don't have one. It's all fine. Like,
it's grand.
I like, you know, you take it as it is.
Which chipmunk do you think you're like closest to?
Theodore.
I think I'm more Theodore.
You're rocking the Alvin fit, like.
I am actually. To be fair, I am fairly Alvin today. Yeah. Oh, does that make me group leader?
No.
Yeah, it does. Oh my God, Jude is so Simon.
He is, isn't he?
He's so Simon. Oh my God, it's Cian and his friends.
Cian and the Chipmunks. That's the new show name.
Cian and his friends, boy.
Okay.
The rebrand.
If you could either be a Transformer or a Ninja Turtle, which one are you being?
Transformer.
Oh,
I'd get places then, like, you know.
Which Ninja Turtle do I get to choose?
You get to choose, and you get to choose which Transformer you are as well.
Oh, okay, that changes things. All right.
I'll be Bumblebee, because the car is just sick, I think.
Bad stutter.
He got a speech impediment, but he wouldn't want that. Yeah. I don't know. That's a tough one, because I'm thinking either I get to be Raphael.
Yeah.
Or
I prefer Michelangelo.
I mean, yeah, Michelangelo's cool, but like I always thought Raph was just the cool. He's just angry, boy. You know what I mean? And I get that. I'm like, angry.
I feel that.
Yeah, I'm grungy like him.
Straight edge.
What'd be a good? I'm trying to think. What's my favorite? I mean, I would love to be Optimus personally. Mm. That would be sick. Yeah.
Do you remember Ironhide?
Of course, boy. Oh my God, Ironhide the change. Actually, Bulkhead, boy.
Bulkhead. I remember Bulkhead.
He was the green one in the cartoons.
Oh,
lad.
Watch
the cartoons.
I haven't seen the cartoons since I was like 10.
Oh, lad, he was serious stuff now. I'd probably go with Bulkhead, because he would just play like this. He would just transform into this big, unnecessary, large like truck for no reason. Yeah. But it's like an army truck and his arms. He's basically Ironhide in like a cartoon form.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say.
That's all we have time for, I think.
I'm saying Ninja Turtle.
I'll go
and one last one. If you could have an actor play you in the No Source Needed movie, who's playing you? Make you 20 seconds.
Jeremy Allen White.
The Rock.
I can see The Rock. I can't see Jeremy Allen White though.
That's the one I always get. It's the thing.
Oh, me. Jim Carrey.
Wait, hang on. Let me think for a second. Tilda Swinton.
Okay. This has been No Source Needed with The Sideline. Thank you very much.
Thanks
for coming on, guys.
Travis.
It's been great. And just to close out the show, this is The Boys Are Back in Town by Thin Lizzy.
Pressure makes diamonds, lads. And I love them.
shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her. Here again.